I feel more comfortable up here than I do down there, because I don't move around as much as Tom does. Scott's going to play something for you just before we start. I want you to listen to it, and it does come into the lesson, okay? Okay, Scott, I love this recitation. I hope you like it. Time I heard that, I was in a conference with a lot of preachers, and needless to say, there was a lot of shouting going on at the same time. I love it. That's my king. Now, the phrase I want you to pick up out of it, when I find where I'm going, I've got so many pages marked here. You just hang with me, I'll find it. I shake worse than Tom does. There it is. Did you notice after every category that he quoted, what did he say? Do you know him? Do you know him? One of my favorite verses is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, where Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. See? Everything we know about the Lord Jesus is connected to his resurrection. Let me say, I appreciate Tom getting sick for a couple weeks so I could teach. That was nice of him to do that. Sickness comes where you want it, where you don't want it. You may get up tomorrow and have the same thing he's got. And you'll say, I shouldn't have went to church yesterday. Tom, give it to me. We always got to have somebody to blame it on. You know, but it happens. Used to, I didn't mind going to Walmart and places like that. But I'm still, you know, I go into Walmart and first too many people down an aisle, I go to the next aisle and go down here, and then I come back up that one. I'm conscious of 6 feet. Now, I know COVID put that in my head. You know, don't get within 6 feet of somebody. And so when I get within 6 feet, I kind of take a few steps. Doesn't hurt to be careful. But sickness comes, you know. The flu's all around us. You can't get out now getting flu. I just heard this week what there's 90 cases of COVID back in the hospital. You know, and so, and most of those have had all the shots. So you explain that after service if you want to me personally. I don't understand that, but that's the way it is. But the key word today is know. K-N-O-W. You'll find in the book of 1 John the word know, and I'm not going to read from there. I'm just telling you. The word know is found 35 times in that one book alone. Did you know the word know, K-N-O-W, is found over 1,900 times in the Bible? The word knowledge is found over 500 times in the Bible. Now, when you've got a book this thick, it's not real thick, and one word is found 1,900 times, there's got to be a reason for that. Wouldn't you think? I mean, there's got to be a reason for it. When you think of all the other words that he could have put in there, and just the word no 3 or 4 times, like other words. You know, there's some words that's not found but one time in the Bible. The word reverent. Other word found one time. But the word no, K-N-O-W, when I found that out, and I found that out years ago in studying, there had to be a reason for it. So, do you know today? What do you know? I remember a guy worked at Liberty Lumber Company. I used to go in over there, and he worked out on the lot. And I said, what do you know today? He'd say, all I know is it takes a big sack of flour to make a big biscuit. And that's all he'd say. I know it takes a big sack of flour to make a big biscuit. And that's the extent of his knowledge as far as wanting to carry on a conversation. And that was to tell me, I've got work to do. I don't have time to tell you everything I know. And so he just kind of brushed it off with that statement. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, and John chapter 13, verse 17. I'm just going to read two verses because I'm going to show you some things today. Chapter 3, verse 13. Proverbs. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, go with me over to John chapter 13 and verse 17. John 13, 17. If ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. And while you're there, you might as well go on to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I told you the key word was to know. The next word is happiness. What is happiness? As I told you, I was in Walmart two or three times this week. I was in there with my great-grandkids, letting them pick out a gift for the birthday. And I notice people a lot. And my wife, she'll look at me and sometimes and she'll say, "Why aren't you smiling?" And in Walmart, I asked a man one day, I said, "How come you're the only one in here laughing and smiling?" He said, "Well, I'm the only one that's here because I want to be. The rest of them have to be." He said, "I'm retired. I can go home when I want to." He said, "The rest of them have bills to pay and they have to be here." And I thought that was a pretty good answer. But you know, at Christmas time, I remember when I was a child, if you got to go through the toy department, that's the next best thing to going to heaven. Because we weren't allowed a lot of toys, you know. And so the other day when we were in the toy department, I watched the children. And they didn't seem to be happy. You know? There's something missing why people are not happy. Why aren't they happy? Now, there's an instant happiness. You understand that? The word know means to understand. All right? So you understand that. You realize that wealth can make you happy. If you've got a lot of money, you're going to be temporarily happy. If you've got good health, you're kind of happy, aren't you? My health's in pretty good shape, except I got one ear that's gone out. But other than that, my senses, none of them work 100%. But as far as my health overall, to be 78, I'm thankful for my health. I can still go out and play golf if I want to. The funny thing, I was walking through Lowe's the other day and I'd have to go through the tool department. And I was thinking about the tools that I might need sometime. And I got tickled at myself. And I thought, "Gene, you can't even hold a nail to nail it now. What do you need that for? Why do you need a nail gun? You're not going to build a house." You know, they had a nice saw in there. I thought, "I need that." And I thought, "What are you going to do with it?" You know. But I love to walk through the tools just to see what I need. But it's what I needed 20 years ago, not what I need now. Now I find myself looking on Google to see who can plumb and who can electrical and all this other stuff. Because I just can't do that stuff anymore. I love painting. I walk through the paint department, you know, and I look at stuff I could use. I don't paint no more because I could see the straight line now. It wouldn't be real straight. And so I can't do those things anymore, but I still enjoy going through there because it makes me happy. Makes me happy. So your health makes you happy. Your family can make you happy. I get to go to a party today at 2 o'clock. My great-granddaughter, she's 4 years old. And we got into Walmart the other day, and Kelsey came through my granddaughter, and my great-granddaughter grabbed me and hugged me. And I said, "Well, that'll get her half the store, you know." And we got back in toys, and I said, "Pick you out one," and they picked out one. I said, "You want two?" They said, "Mama said we just have one." I said, "Well, I'm buying. You can have two." And Kelsey just stood there and shook her head. And so they got two. And, but anyway, she explained later, Christmas is coming. They don't need 100 toys now. You get more later. But what I'm saying is, family makes you happy. Being with your family. We get a golf match with me and Tom and Dave and my brother Carol, and about twice a year. And I look forward to it because it brings me happiness and joy. Health brings happiness and joy. Wealth can bring happiness and joy to some people. Now, some people can have all the money in the world, still not be happy, period. And then some people can have good health and they'll still find something wrong with them. I used to visit this family. I don't remember ever going in that home that there wasn't something wrong with somebody. And usually it was the lady of the house. If her arm wasn't hurting, her back was. And fine lady, I was kin to her. Health doesn't necessarily make some people happy. Family, friends make you happy. Hearing from your friends, that excites you. My grandson called me the other day from Germany. Now, Papa, I'll be in Charlotte at 2:30 on the 22nd. Will you be there? I said, yes, I'll be there at 2:25. Well, Papa, I might get there early. You might want to come at 2. He's coming home from Germany for a couple of weeks. And then we got one coming on Ben from Hawaii. And so everybody's going to be here, and we're all going to be happy for a while. But you know what? Those are temporal happiness. And some people have to have something going on all the time in order for them to be happy. Because they want it to continue. But it doesn't. You see, the thing is, the spiritual happiness is the only one that continues. Now I'm going to show you some things in the Bible that you need to know to make you happy. Make you happy on December the 26th, when everything's over. Make you happy the day after your birthday. Make you happy the day after New Year's. Make you happy the day after Easter. The day after Thanksgiving. You see, that's the happiness you want to know. And that's why the word know is so important. You see, the word know comes from the word of understanding. That's why many times you'll hear me say the little phrase. You do understand that, don't you? What I'm saying is you do know that. And knowing is something that increases as you live life. Now the first one is, and they're really simple. The first one is knowing God as your Father. To be happy, you've got to know God as your Father. Okay? You see, the creative God is not knowing God as your Father. He doesn't become your Father because your mom and dad had you. Otherwise, statements such as, you are of your father, the devil, because his deeds are what you do. So, there is another father that you could have who is the devil. And then there's God the Father. Now, once you come to that knowledge that he is your father, then your relationship becomes much closer. Because a father-son relationship is a great relationship. I have a good relationship with my two sons simply because I'm their father. They don't call me father. They call me dad. But I am their father. God is my father. I don't call him dad because he's my father. Now, Abba Father The word Abba kind of comes from the word daddy. You understand that? Yeah. Daddy, father. In other words, the relationship is there with him as your father. Now, being your father, now watch this, and don't disagree with me when I say it. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if that verse stopped right there, you would not be saved. You understand that? God's love does not save people. If that be the case, then everybody would be saved because God loves everybody. Is that not true? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, what saves us? Now watch it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift. It is the gift of God. The Bible talks about the unspeakable gift that's full of glory. Well, what is the unspeakable gift? Well, it's Jesus. Why can't love save us? Well, the last part of John 3:16 tells you that. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What was the last part? He that believeth in him. When you believe, you receive the gift. What's the gift? Eternal life. Who is eternal life? Jesus Christ. This same Jesus you see taken away will come again to get you. And so love, and that's where the world is confused. They think because God loves them, everything's all right. Well, it's not. It's not. Until you receive the gift. You see, God's grace is the unmerited favor. That's when the gift is offered. You don't give nothing back in return. You don't try to do anything to merit it because it's unmerited favor. That's what the word grace means. And so when he becomes your father, it's because that you have received his gift and therefore his grace has been bestowed upon you and therefore you become a son of God. Father, son. So do you know him today as your father? Do you have any doubts? See, there's some things you shouldn't have any doubt about. As you grow in the Lord, some doubts just disappear. And I think one of them is the relationship of father and son. You have accepted his son. You have received his grace. You've received his gift. And therefore, he's your father. You didn't earn it. You did nothing to deserve it. It's an unmerited favor. Now notice the next one. Knowing Jesus as your Savior, that brings happiness. Huh? Are you happy because you know Jesus today? If you lost everything you have, would you be like Job and be able to look up and say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you lost all your wealth, your health, your family, your friends, sometimes we have at the funeral home, somebody will die, they're way up in years, and it puts in there those that preceded him in death. And it lists their family and everybody they knew, and then those that are living, a caregiver. A caregiver. Someone that has been put in place to take care of the individual in the last days of their life. But if you know Jesus as Savior, what did he say? He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. See? When you put your salvation in anything other than him, it will leave you. You understand that? You don't stop living because everything around you disappears. You keep living. Mom and dad dies, they leave you here. From the time you're born, they're trying to teach you how to live when they do leave. See? Brothers, sisters, they'll leave you. Children, if you live long enough, they'll leave you. We just buried a lady that lost 5 children. She outlived every one of them. You never know. But if you know God is your Father and you know Jesus as your Savior, you can be assured that when you open your eyes in the morning, he'll be there. Amen. When you shut your eyes tonight, he'll be there. The Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. While you're sleeping fast asleep, he's cradling you in his arms of love, mercy, and grace. He's your Savior. What do you mean he's my Savior? He's going to save you out of this doomed world, saving you for a home in heaven to live with him forever. What else do you want? It's like that guy from Bill Gatton. Why in the world would you not? It's all out there for you. Just accept it. And then notice the third one. Knowing now know, keep in mind the key word know. Knowing he's your Father. Knowing he's your Savior. Knowing that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. If you say, now, Jesus lives in my heart. No, he don't. Jesus seated the right hand of the Father. Well, I better rephrase that. He lives in your heart, but he don't. Well, now I'm more confused. Well, you understand you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why they're listed first. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. And the Holy Spirit is the one who guides you and directs you and lives in your heart. Well, if the Holy Spirit's living in your heart, who else is living in there? God and his Son. They can't be separated. They're not three persons. The Bible doesn't teach three persons. You say, I don't understand that. Well, when I was in school, there was a professor teaching on the Trinity. And he said, now, if you go home today and try to figure it out, you'll go crazy. He said, if you don't believe it, you'll die and go to hell. Left us young preachers with that statement. You can't figure it out. It's something that is not figurable. The Holy Spirit is in my heart. Jesus is in my heart. God the Father lives in my heart. He lives in your heart. He lives in the heart of all those who know him in the free pardon of sin. So isn't it good to know that the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart and he guides you? He talks to you? Who do you think talks to you at night when you can't go to sleep? The Holy Spirit. If you'll let him, he's the one that kind of rocks you back to sleep by giving you that confidence and that security. Everything's all right. I've still got it in my hands and it's not slipping any. So you know the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. And then the next one is knowing that your sins are forgiven. Now notice what we're talking about. We're talking about happiness. Knowing happiness is God to know God your Father, know Jesus as your Savior, know the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And then the fourth one is knowing that your sins are forgiven. That should make you happy. I mean, you walk through Walmart, you see all these people, and you wonder how many of them know that their sins are forgiven. And then you bring a smile on your face because you know why? You know that yours are forgiven. And you hope that theirs is forgiven. The Bible says if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us. And if you know that, happy are you. He said, if you know these things, you're going to be happy. So you know your sins are forgiven. And then knowing you have a good church to go to makes you happy. Let me tell you something about the local church. It's not perfect. The people in it are just saved people coming to church, trying with their efforts to worship God. That's why we're here. But let me tell you something else. It's the best thing God's got going in this world. Is a local church. The best thing, the best organization he has right now. Now, if you've been reading the paper, the United Methodist Church is getting ready to split. The Southern Baptist Church is having problems. And they all have to do with the problems that Lot had in Sodom and Gomorrah, sexual problems. The transgender thing. And I told you, don't forget those two things. That in the last days, the Bible says it'd be as it was in the days of Lot. It's not only in the world, friend. It's reached in to denominations. And then the second thing I told you is was in the days of Noah. What was going on in the days of Noah? Nobody getting saved. Well, now, if that's not as plain as handwriting on a wall, I don't know what is. If we're not living in those 2 days, I don't know any generation that has. I told you in 1935, my grandpa pastored 3 churches. And in the minutes, I have the minutes, he won 224 people to the Lord that year. He saw that many saved. When I pastored 1 year, we had 52 saved in 1 year. I baptized all 52 of them. Hardly, if more than 3 Sundays went by that somebody didn't walk the aisle and get saved, we got discouraged. And that's when we hit the prayer room and started praying only for people to get saved. I don't remember a year of my pastoring that somebody didn't get saved. I pastored in the Methodist Church 14 years. I baptized 14 one Sunday in the river down at Davy Crockett. I baptized 16 in the river up at Bluff City. We saw people getting saved. But now, what's happened? Have the days of Noah caught up with us? You say, well now, that shouldn't be an excuse for people not getting saved. I didn't say it was an excuse. Reason people not getting saved, we're not getting them into the church. Everybody Jesus called in the New Testament, he called publicly. Everybody. Everybody he called in the New Testament, he called publicly. But what's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. We've confused God's grace with his love. And people think, well, God loves me. I don't have to go to church. God's love didn't save you. God's love brought you the gift. God's grace saves you. And if people are not willing to receive the gift, his love can't save them. And that's where we live today. People are confused. TV preachers are the most confusing people in the world. It's all about money. You know, If you send $1,000 and plant your seed, God will multiply it 10 times. Show me that in the Scripture. Oh, they'll take Scripture out of context, show you anything. It's amazing how they can go a whole month. I watched them 1 month on this telethon they have in January. Every sermon had to do with sending money. And I thought, and they used the verses. And I read those verses and I thought, that's taking it away out of context. That's taking it a little too far. But every sermon they built was built on sending money and giving. Sow your seed. Give your gift. God will multiply. And they come up with these figures. Send $53 a month. And they tell you where they got it from. They take Scripture out of context to get it. It's amazing. It's no wonder the world's confused. People don't study the Bible enough to know what they believe. And so therefore they don't know where they stand with God. And they don't know that God's their Father. They don't know how He becomes their Father. Oh, God loves me. Everything's going to be all right. No, God loves the created people. You understand that? The Father aspect has nothing to do with the creation of individuals. It has to do with the relationship of His Son. He becomes your Father through His Son, the gift of God. And then you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know your sins are forgiven. You've got a good church. We hear the word taught here and preached here. Somebody said, well, come every time the doors are open. I can't. I work. And sometimes when I work 8 hours a day, guess what? My biggest mistake is sitting down in the chair when I get home. I can't get up. It's like that chair grasping and says, you better rest a while. You can't just keep going. And so sometimes I miss. But a lot of times I'm like this week. We had a funeral Friday morning. We showed up. It was a gravesite. Well, the preacher didn't show up. And so the funeral director come over to me and said, you think you can do this service? And then he grinned. You know, I said, well, I'll try. And so I had to do the service on the spot. I didn't have time to pray, prepare, nothing. You know, I mean, when you're put on the spot, you put on the spot. I love being put on the spot when it comes to preaching. Because there's always one back here. It's amazing how it can come out so quickly. And so I walked over to the graveside, preached to them. They come up and said, that's really good. Well, when they pat me on the back, my hand goes up and pats him on the back. Right. Who's him? Jesus. My Savior, my Father, and the Holy Spirit. So when they put me on the spot, the Holy Spirit moves up to here and he says, this is what you need to say, this is what you need to say. And you get it all in there, you know. And then when you step up there, it's amazing. It comes out exactly like He wants it. It's best to start out with Scripture. I didn't have any Scripture on my mind, but the 23rd Psalm came on immediately. Now, when you're called on to quote the 23rd Psalm by heart, you know, you just have to depend on somebody other than yourself. I know it by heart, but when you put on the spot and your heart begins beating a little faster, it's hard to remember your name. But it just rolled out. And then I went to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just rolled out. You know? Then I told them where the individual was. She's a good woman. You say a good woman? She's saved. I'd heard the family talk at the funeral home about that. See? It just so happened that I was in there when they were talking. Wonder why that was. I didn't know I was going to do the service at the funeral home. The preacher was supposed to meet us at the gravesite. Wonder why I was in there at the time they were talking about her. Well, because the Holy Spirit knew I was going to be asked to do that service at the gravesite. I didn't know. But he did. See? And so it's good that you got a good church home. And then the next one, knowing you have the privilege of prayer. Have you ever thought the tragedy that would happen if prayer were cut off for a day? If God put the word out, no prayers answered today. I don't know about you, but if he did that for an hour, I'd have trouble. Seems like I'm talking to him all day. I understand as I've gotten older what he meant when he said pray without ceasing. That without ceasing, when you put it in simple terms, means pray and never quit. Well, prayer seems to be as you get older and as you experience the knowledge of knowing you're happy, it makes you happy just to pray.
That's right.
You ride down the road, somebody's name comes to your mind, you say a prayer for them. You say I'm watching television. It's amazing. You can say I'm watching television, somebody's name will be mentioned, and you'll think of somebody in the church that has that name. You know, I need to pray for them. You pray for them. We have that privilege of prayer, and prayer is that communication with your Heavenly Father. With your Heavenly Father. You get to talk to Him.
Amen.
I used to love it when I could go home and sit down and talk to my dad. You know. And he'd start talking about the old times, you know. And I love to talk about those. As I get older, I love it even more. And we just talk about stuff. You know. And I miss that. But you know what? I've got a Heavenly Father that I don't have to worry about that happening in the morning.
Amen.
Because He's never going to leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
And so, you have the privilege of prayer. Knowing that you have this book as your guide. Now watch this. You know how to be happy because of this book. Who told you that God could be your Father? This book. What told you that Jesus could be your Savior? This book. What tells you that the Holy Spirit lives in your heart? This book. What tells you that your sins are forgiven? This book. What tells you that a good church can make you happy? This book. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. What tells you that you can pray? This book. When Jesus was with his disciples, they never did ask him to teach them how to preach and teach and all that. But they saw something in his prayer life they wanted. And he told them one time, they said, we prayed, nothing happened. He said, well, it takes a little more than that. Now I lay me down to sleep, don't get the job done sometimes. Sometimes you have to agonize. You remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he died and he prayed for an hour and went back? He asked his disciples, couldn't you watch 1 hour? They never did grasp it. They wanted to know how to pray. But they weren't willing to make the sacrifices to get the job done. Well, who tells you how to pray? Our Father which art in heaven. That's not in the Constitution. That's not in the Bill of Rights. It's not an amendment, to my knowledge. They're making so many amendments now, you never know what's going on. No. Who told me that it's wrong for two men to marry? This book. I don't care what's his name said. He said the first thing he did when they adopted that law that
marriage could be anything now and anybody. That means you marry two dogs or whatever you want to now. I mean, it's wide open. It's wide open. And I remember watching his name come on there and say, well, the first thing I want to do is call my daughter and wish her and her husband so you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. Hey, I didn't write the book. I mean, if you're going to believe part of it, fine. If you're going to believe it all, then you'll know. If you only believe part of it, you'll never know. There'll always be doubt whether he's your father or whether the Holy Spirit lives in you or whether Christ is your Savior. But when you come to a knowledge of the truth, see, you don't hear the truth on the news. This book will tell you the truth. And so, we have the Bible. Then knowing the joy of service. We come to church on Sunday morning. My wife has to have Christmas music. She says, let's get in the spirit of Christmas so we can go into church with that. And it's good to have music. Music's soothing. And when it's not the season, we play other music. Because it's a joy and it brings happiness to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is good. And then the last one. Knowing that you have a home in heaven when it's all over. Knowing that you have a home in heaven when it's all over. One of these days you'll take your last breath. I'll take my last breath. But just knowing that heaven's waiting makes it all worthwhile. So if you want to be happy, just follow this little guide and you'll be happy.
Amen.
Oh, you won't show it all the time in the big smile. But oh, it's down in here. God bless you. You're dismissed.